One, two, three, four, five.
5 years of decoding 40.
I was on vacation and we went out to the Poconos and had an amazing time. It was amazing except for one thing. We had a bear, a black bear, that was occupying the perimeter of the house.
Fuck.
He was a
black bear. And how do we know this? Because my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and their kids were coming back from the movies. As they were pulling into the driveway, the bear was going through the garbage. And he had knocked all the garbage over.
Wow.
So
was he a big bear?
They said it was about the size of the sofa that was inside the house. So
standing up.
No, big enough. Just walking on his fours. So I'm thinking
this nigga was a love seat.
Yeah, right.
The bear was a walking love seat with paws to match, ready to slap the shit out of somebody.
Right.
Don't you know I am a bear?
Exactly. So that kind of dampened all the time outside because once you're outside and it's like every time you hear a branch snap, you immediately think the bear is about to come kill.
Yeah.
It did not help that I don't know who put it on. Either Jamal and the Kimmy started watching Cocaine Bear.
Well,
after that, there is no hanging out outside. Have you guys watched the movie?
No, I haven't.
No,
I heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
It's pretty ridiculous, but you do not want to be thinking about a bear right outside of the home that you're staying in. And then further evidence that it was apparently hanging around the house, it defecated on the side of the house.
Wow.
Oh.
So it clearly...
Oh, so he's taunting you also.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Come on, Jose.
I'll shit everyone in the house, nigga. I'm a black man, nigga. Come get some, motherfucker. I just shit on your house, nigga. Black man out.
Who's on his ass?
I took a shit on the side of your house, nigga.
Yo, that's hilarious.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that beautiful intro music, so you know what time it is. It's time for the loveliest, leanest, longest, entertaining podcast that's coming to you every Friday. This is Decoding 40. I happen to be your humble host this week. This is your boy, L.O., and I am joined by two of the most illustrious members of the podcast community who have been doing this for at least, let me count, 5 years. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is our 5th year anniversary of doing this podcast, and their names are...
What's up, what's up? It's your boy, Vin, in the building. Hope everybody's safe out there.
This is Alaric.
All right, so let me get this housekeeping out the way quickly. If you want to call us or text us, the number is 619-940-4040. If you want to email us, it's decoding40@gmail.com. If you want to check out some merch or see what the latest is going on in the world of Decoding 40, go to decoding40pod.com. Oh, if you want to see what we're doing on our Instagram or other social media, it's just Decoding 40. I'm not sure who's managing the IG page, but you're doing a wonderful job, Brownie.
What?
That's from George Bush when Katrina and yeah. Sorry. It's just one of my favorite lines.
I was like, that was racist.
No, the guy's name was actually Brownie. Okay. So yeah, so whoever's doing it, it's I always find it funny. I'm like,
the stories?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm loving this.
Hilarious. Stories. So guys, this is the 5th year anniversary of jumping on these microphones and trying to be as authentic, humorous, introspective and real as possible. Before we get into the check-in, I'm just curious, how do you feel about enduring for this many years on this project?
I'm going to start by saying that it's, I don't know if it's cheaper than therapy, but it's a lot more fun.
I don't know if it's cheaper either. Yeah.
It's cheaper not than cheaper. Therapy. So, I when I had good insurance, one episode is about 10 co-payments, but I honestly, I think it's been some of the funniest and best moments I've had in my entire life. And I'm doing it with two of my best friends that I consider brothers. You know, we've been on trips together. We've gotten more than tore up at bars together. We've just had a lot of good times together. And it's authentic because it's coming from a place that we don't just get together and do the podcast and not speak to each other. I've known Rick for 46 fucking years. Jesus Christ on a cross.
Crazy number.
Right?
Crazy number.
I've known L now for at least 7 or 8 because I met you way before we did the podcast.
Right. Yep.
And although it hasn't been as long as Rick, I knew Balls. From.
Hasn't been as long.
But it hasn't been as L-O-N-G as Rick. I'm not going to say the word. But sometimes you meet people throughout your life and you just hit it off and you find an instant connection because we grew up the same way. We have similar backgrounds. We're all from New York. Elle's from Brooklyn. You know, we're from Queens originally. And just we all came up as Gen X, come in whenever the fucking lights come on generation. And just, you know, we were all kind of free range children. And when you grow up with that type of experience, there's a certain expectation and respect for what it is. Right.
Right.
Good people's man. I've had so much fun doing this and continue to do it. And like I said, this is the funnest therapy I can ever think of, man. This shit is, and it got us through so much. We were around before the pandemic, nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, and we've had some changes in the folks doing it, but I'm glad we're back doing it. It's definitely top of my thought.
You know, sort of thinking back on this whole experience, and I want to say thank you to you guys for sure, because I needed this space. I needed this space before I actually knew I needed this space, definitely through the pandemic. I think this, our weekly appointment, kept some sanity going. It kept, there was a place to unload all this stuff, even the stuff we don't talk about with the therapist, but you know, it felt safe. And I knew even the stuff that didn't end up on the show, but the conversations we'd have off the show were being held in confidence. And yeah, we need that. And I needed that. And it's great that we could do it for each other. You know, if you've been riding with us since the beginning, there were some personnel changes at some point. But even before that became necessary, we were having a great time. Mm-hmm. Now, what was happening behind the scenes might have been like a scuffle.
A scuttlebutt.
Like
a kerfuffle.
Yes. But it was crazy that as soon as we mics were on, the chemistry, you know, and we had to make adjustments. But it's great because we, the three of us, have that chemistry. And we're able to build and share and hopefully entertain the people that are listening, entertain the folks who have been riding with us from the beginning. I know we mean something to a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
Because when we stop recording for a little while, where's the new episode? Where's the new episode? They're tapping their veins. Where's the new episode?
You know, are y'all still doing that podcast?
Yeah. People coming up to my wife, people coming up to me, texting me and, yo, what's going on with the show? Like Vinny and his boys ain't doing that no more. Like, you know, we taking a little breaky break, you know, but because like we say, life is lifing, but we're back, baby. And it's good to be back.
Thank you to the audience who's stuck with us. New people who found the podcast and riding with us. We appreciate you because you encourage us to keep going.
No doubt.
5 years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th.
Yeah. 5th. Yeah, no, I don't even want to say much more because we'll be talking about this throughout the show. But I want to thank you guys for allowing me to be a part of this experience. And we have grown and we have shared and we have fought and we have mended issues and bridges. And like Vin said, we have traveled, we have drank, and we have laughed quite a bit. So it
definitely,
all in all, has been incredibly cathartic. And I don't know what life would have been without this, but I'm glad I'll never find out.
That's right.
So
that's right, man. Beautiful.
Congratulations to you guys. Thank you to everyone who listens. So with that, let's do the check-in.
Well, I passed my 100 exam, the first part of... Did I talk about this on the last show?
I think you did.
No, wait a minute.
Yeah, you did. You're still happy about it, though.
You know, this is what happens when you get a little old. You fucking forget what you said.
This episode is brought to you by
Coca-Cola. You old fuck. But Friday, probably the reason why I forgot, because Friday, as soon as I finished that Friday, I went out at 2 o'clock in the morning to do some on the job training. And I was lucky to have three of my boys that are with me in the class, and we had a great time doing it. So I'm glad that I was with those cats, and we just kind of like did what we had to do, and it was all fun, man. It was all fun. They're all younger than me. They, like, you know, like I said, I'm the grandpa. I'm gonna finally admit it because Elle's been saying I'm the grandpa. I'm the grandpa of the class, right?
Finally, he says it.
I'm the grandpa of the class, but you know, these youngsters are really good. They're good kids, and we had a great time, and then I had a crazy dream actually Friday night. You know, when you're not smoking weed and you don't, and I've never been a person who drinks in an excess, the clarity comes through very, very quickly. You know, after a month of not smoking, your mind just gets really, really sharp. And it's been longer than that for me, but your dreams start to come back. You start to remember some of these dreams. And just Friday night, I had a dream where my mother showed up, and it was real to me because she looked like how I remembered her before she got sick. And she looks at me, and like we're in this room, and she starts walking towards me with her arms out. And in the dream, I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, you're not supposed to be here. And she doesn't say anything. And she just hugs me and gives me a kiss on the cheek. And I begin to weep uncontrollably in the dream. And I actually woke up kind of like still feeling that. So this weekend's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster for me. The weather didn't help because we got rain the whole weekend. And luckily enough, I got up on Saturday. What I like to do on the weekends is go for a long walk. And Apple has a great thing where, like a fitness thing, where you can take walks and listen to different stories. And I wound up listening to the actor. His name is Domingo. I can't think of his last name. He recently won the Academy Award for... His last name is Coleman?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. He recently won the Academy Award for his portrayal of the civil rights activist. I can't think of his name.
Rusty.
Yes, great movie. And he's got an equally great Apple walk story. It had me in tears. And now I've just been feeling a bit of an emotional roller coaster, especially after having that dream, because it's not very often that moms comes in the dream. And for the first time that I can ever think of or even remember, she embraced me in the dream. And I can almost feel that feeling. So I'm of a belief that when we dream, we go to other dimensions and probably somewhere else off planet. I think our brains are very, very powerful. We, you know, there's so much about the brain we don't even know. So it was good to see mom, at least for that moment. But the rest of the weekend was raining, and I was kind of dreary, and I was trying to catch up on my sleep that I lost that night. So I've been kind of off, but I'm feeling better now that I'm on the podcast. And, you know, as we always do, what the audience doesn't know is like we talk for like 20, 30 minutes before we start recording, and then another 10 minutes before we really, really start recording. So it's always good to touch base with my boys and converse and laugh. And I'm definitely feeling better now, and I'm looking forward to the upcoming week, you know, of training and just being with the classmates and figuring out what's what. I'm kind of nervous because I didn't do much studying this weekend because I was just living off the high of passing that 100 exam. And I was like, I don't give a fuck about these books right now. But I did a little bit of studying. So I'm hoping that they don't quiz us on this one thing, because if they do, I'm fucked. But we'll see.
Wait, is that tomorrow?
There's a chance that we might have this quiz tomorrow. The quiz that I'm talking about, it's like this one particular thing that we have to memorize and know verbatim. And while I know it, I don't know it verbatim. So, you know, I'm probably, when I get off of this, I'll just read it a little bit more, you know, try to commit it to memory. But if I fail the quiz, it'd be the first one to fail. So I'm not really too stressed about it. But at any rate,
how many are you allowed to fail?
If you fail two, then they put you on like a warning. And then if you fail another one after that, then you're on probation. But you can literally fail, pass, and still pass. So they're trying to change that in the grand scheme of things. But I think I'll be able to, if I read some tonight and like in the morning before class, if they decide to do that, I don't think they will, just because they're probably going to want to ask us what happened on Friday. And we're going to have to give them a run through of what we learned and what we saw in order to satisfy their questions, I'm assuming. But we'll see. I'm like, fuck it. It's tomorrow's Monday, man. It's another week. We're expecting some beautiful weather in this area. We're expecting 60s and 70s. One thing I didn't realize is the fucking clocks went forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I woke up this morning and I looked at my phone and I saw 8:30. I didn't think anything of it. So I get up, I get dressed, took a shower, get dressed, go walk the dog. And like I said on the weekends, I want to walk. I go for a long walk and I come back and I look at my phone and it says 10 o'clock or whatever it is. And I go in the kitchen. I was like, why is a clock in the kitchen say 9 o'clock? And I was like, wait a minute. Did the time go forward? And that's normally, I don't get caught off guard like that. And I had to ask Siri. I said, hey, Siri. Yes. She's like, yes. I was like, did the time go forward? And of course, the bitch didn't answer the question. She just shows me a definition of the time going forward. I figured it out. It was the second week in March. This is what it does, you know? So the time went ahead and hey, I'm happy for that, because now we get a little more light at the end of the day.
Are you guys in favor of eliminating daylight savings time?
Yeah, it doesn't seem any, there's not a need for it anymore. There's no more farming.
The only impact that I saw is that we would not experience like 8 p.m. sunsets.
Are we really experiencing 8 p.m. sunsets?
Yeah, in the summertime.
But it gets
we decided it was 8 p.m.
Well, yeah. Right.
Well, it isn't. The sunsets later than that. Sometimes 8:30.
Right, but the point is,
it would be
it wouldn't be like after 8 p.m. Right, yeah, exactly.
After 8 p.m. Right.
But yeah, that's if we turn the clocks back. If we just leave them where they are for the summer, we will have shorter days in the winter.
Where was it before they started it? That lies the question.
they made the whole shit up, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, New York is one of the states that is looking to eliminate it. There's I think 11 other states.
Can you do it state Arizona. By state? That's ridiculous.
No.
Yeah, because Arizona
has already 7 o'clock in New York and 8 o'clock in Jersey.
That would
parts
be crazy.
Of I want to say Oklahoma has eliminated it. Oh, you mean up here?
That would be kind of difficult. It would have, New York and New Jersey would have to at least be in conjunction, because there's too much interstate traveling and business going on between the two states that shit would just throw everything off.
I think everything would be on crazy. The East Coast would have to agree to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that would be crazy if New Jersey had Central Time and New York had Eastern Time.
Yeah. It's 9 o'clock here. I don't know what the fuck time is it over there, you know? We've got to be there at 7 o'clock. New York time.
Yeah. Right. Man,
that'd be a penny.
Because that's what it would be.
Yeah, man. But other than that, that's pretty much my check-in, man. Just looking forward to the week and getting it done.
Nice.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This has been from Decoding 40, letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it. Decoding40pod.com.
Decoding40pod.com.
Hello, Google.
Yes, Hassan.
Search Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Address, please.
Of course, Hassan.
Thank you. Search.
Yes.
Wait, okay. Obama. So wait.
Okay.
This article is suggesting that they have already identified his
steak and ass Democrats.
Did you mean steak and ass demo rats?
Hello, Google.
Yes.
Search everybody that I don't like and stinks.
16,800,000 results.
Hello, Google.
Yes.
Hello, Google.
Yes.
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 Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez stinks.
Did you try using an air freshener?
Recording 40.
You know, this sandwich generation shit is real. Absolutely, positively real. So my dad is back in the hospital. He was admitted on Saturday. I was actually on my way to Queens to go visit my mom. I was taking the kids out there. We were going to hang out there for the day. And when I'm on my way, I get a call from my father. The visiting nurse was there. They were concerned about his blood pressure being low. And they want his range to be in like 90 something over whatever number. And he was at like 78 the day before and 84 after the nurse took his vitals. And she was like, you should really go to the hospital. So back to the hospital we go. I was in the emergency room with him from, 3 p.m. to about 4 a.m. when they finally got him into his room, and then I left and came home. We were in the emergency room that whole time, but at least, you know, he had his own little section. He wasn't like in the hallway, because some of these emergency rooms, like, they just line gurneys up in the hallway and people are just sitting out there. But if you have a heart condition or your serious condition, they get you into a room. But apparently he's got some frequent flyer miles, because he got the poshest room. He's got a single room. He's on the 8th floor. He's got a view.
Oh, he's got a penthouse.
Oh yeah.
Is that the room with the stripper pole in it?
it's in the new section of the hospital building.
Oh, nice.
It's beautifully carpeted floors. It's so comfortable. Like, it's brand new. So at least he's comfortable. But, you know, these things, like I'm saying, the sandwich generation, which we are. At the same time today, my wife noticed that my daughter had slight infection yesterday, and we were a little concerned about it. And now she has to go to the doctor today. You know, my wife took her to the pediatrician while I stayed home with my son. And, you know, this is where we are right now. You know what I mean? Like, you got to care for these two generations. Like, you have to manage that stuff for them. And it's tough. I just was very exhausted. And you know, my wife this morning, we just laid in bed for a while and just sort of embraced. And that's exactly what I needed. I just needed to feel that comfort for a moment. And, you know, I thank her for that, and for having the insight that that's what I needed. So we, you know, eventually got up, and then the day gets started. You know, the demands on her aren't easy either, because now she's got to, you know, manage all that, you know, because we had plans for the weekend. You don't not have plans for a weekend with two small kids.
Mm-hmm.
So now plans got changed, and they have to switch around, and we have to do stuff on the fly, because now I have to go take care of whatever I have to take care of for my father, you know, for him personally, for his health, the business. And that's the other thing, man. We got to get out of this. We have got to get out of this, because this cannot be my life.
Mm.
I cannot spend my life in a laundromat. Can't do it. It's not going to happen. We're going to have to sort that out in the next.
Unless it's a show about being in a laundromat. If there's no cameras, I ain't doing it.
Exactly. You know,
I mean, there's a show idea there.
Listen, wouldn't that be ironic? Hey, listen, I'll play the part of the angry Puerto Rican guy who gives a pain. No problem doing that.
Wait, we're talking about Campbell's and Son?
Yeah, yeah. I could be that. What was the dude's name? Julio? Yeah, I could be the one next door with the goat.
Hey, Julio.
You big dummy. Who used all the goddamn soap? Big ass dummy.
So I mean, it's stressful, just because when you think you found some answers and you found the pathway to something and it feels stable for a second, completely shaken up, and it changes in a millisecond. And I know the last time I talked about his weight. I think he was weighing at 122 at 6 foot three. He is now 118 pounds at 6 foot three. So there's a lot of worry because there's a lot of different, there's a lot of things that are going on. He's got a few issues and like the medications was keeping everything in balance. And then if one thing gets thrown off, whether it's his diet or whether it's his medication, the dosage, it just threw everything up in the air. So we're trying to sort through that now and just get him out of the hospital because it was literally a week ago he got out and he's back in the hospital. So trying to spend as little time there as possible. And, you know, I'm not even going to call this hospital room. I'm going to call it his suite because it's nice, actually. It's actually pretty good. But
you about to go sit over there. You know what?
Just hang out.
Check out that.
Yeah.
How are his spirits?
I don't know what he's actually thinking about. I do know that he is moving a lot slower. Some things he said to me kind of made me feel like he didn't know where, if he was going to be here or not. Like telling me specific ways that things need to be done, you know, for, you know, this business, this specific way that this needs to be done. As if to say, you know, if I'm not here, this is how you have to do it. But today he seemed better. He seemed more hopeful and he seemed like he had rested, but still weakened.
Has he had those truth conversations with you yet?
No.
That's when you kind of have an idea.
Yeah.
Because I remember my mom telling me a lot of shit before she went back into the hospital and ultimately passed. That week before she went into the hospital, there was a lot of shit she said to me. She told me about a lot of things that had hurt her in her past, times that I might have hurt her feelings without even knowing it. When you start having those conversations, that's when they're like, you know what, before I check out, remember that fucking time?
Yeah.
That was my mother. Yeah, let me tell you a few fucking things. But that time you didn't take me out, what are you talking about? You fucking didn't take me out Mother's Day. You didn't show and you didn't even call me. I said, I would never do that, Mom. Well, you did. And I was like, you're lying. I didn't say you lying. She probably would have mustered up the strength to smack me in the mouth. But yeah, when those conversations, and I think we always question our mortality, especially when he's going in more frequently. But yeah, when you start having those type of conversations, they know what's going on. He knows what's going on. He knows this is not his normal weight. This is not how he normally operates. So. Right.
I think he's coming to grips with the realization that his life is going to be different. There's no going back to where it was before. What was happening before doesn't exist.
Yeah.
My sister and I sat down with him. We had a conversation and this just sort of accelerates what we need to get done because it's not going to, things may stabilize, but it's not going to get better. It's always going to be this fragile.
Just a quick bit of advice. Get all the take every conversation with him as like a piece of gold, as a jewel, man, and get as much as
you can.
Yeah, get as much as you can out of him. Stories, feelings, all that stuff that you never asked your dad, was afraid to ask, he never told you, just all that stuff, because once they're gone, you can't get it back.
Yeah.
And it's so important that he lets all that stuff out. There may be something he's been holding on to for a long time. There may be something you've been holding on for a long time. Your sister, whoever, you know, just make sure that you spend those crucial times and moments with them, because when they're not here, they're not here.
Yeah. You know? I've actually done that with my mom and my dad a couple times where I've interviewed them and asked them about their lives. Not in relationship to me, but, you know, I had a really great conversation with my mother about her upbringing, because her natural mother, her biological mother, died when she was 5 or 6 years old. So her mother died on a Friday, and on Monday, she was leaving her home to go live with who I call my grandmother, who was my biological grandmother's second cousin, who my mom had only met twice. she was now going to live with her in Kingston. So she was moving from the country to the city to live with a person she's only met twice. Her mother died on Friday and she's leaving Monday. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how did you feel? Do you remember being afraid? Do you remember how they informed you that your mom died? Do you remember any of that? Because I mean, 5-6 years old, you have some understanding of what's going on around you. And it was very, hey, this is what's happening. You don't have a choice in it. No one's explaining anything to you in great detail. But just her, it helped me understand her better because she had to adjust quickly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're stepping into an environment you've never been in the city like that before. And you are living with someone who you barely know. And you have the mourn the death of your mother all at the same time. It was a very interesting conversation that I managed to catch on video. But I've been doing this with my parents. Like, I've done it a couple times with my mother and I did it a couple times with my father. I want to keep continuing to do it just as an archive for our family. And also, these are stories that they never told us. And I don't think we could have understood it or processed it as kids. But I think now we've had so much life experience that we understand that what that would have meant for, because you can't see your kids having to go through the same thing and knowing how afraid they would be or how afraid you would be at 5 or 6 years old, having to go with someone you met twice in your life.
I couldn't even imagine.
Well, to all the sandwich generationers, is that? No, that's not a thing. To all the what
you just made that.
Because when you said sandwich generation, I'm like, is this nigga eating cold cuts? Like, what's going on? I got to
go to sandwich generation.
But I understand what he's saying now.
Sandwichers.
Sandwiches. Yeah, that's not a thing.
That he just made up.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Well, to all the folks that are part of the sandwich generation, let's share. Let's build. Let's talk about our experiences because it is unique to us. And we're just walking into it. So I'm trying to figure it out. Let's see. I finished season 4 of Tournament of Champions, which is Guy Fieri's show. There's one thing about the show that I forgot to mention last week. The judges who are sort of evaluating the dishes that the chefs are making, it's completely blind judging. They don't know who made the dish. They don't know who cooked any of this food. So it's not going to be a bias based on, you know, oh, I'm friends with that chef or I know that chef or that chef's an asshole. They can't see them. It's completely blind. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that makes the show really cool. So I just started season 5. And this is the...
Some of you are friends with someone you spit out their foot. What the fuck is this? It's like shit. I made that.
I knew you made that.
I knew you
made that. Yeah, you know what? When you mentioned that last week, I forgot to mention, I don't mess with Guy Fieri.
Really?
He's a Trumper.
No.
He is.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Don't ruin my life.
I'm sorry.
That's all I had, Leon. I didn't have nothing else.
I let you live for a week, but you brought it up again and you're about to start 5. I'm just trying to save you, my friend.
Well, until I see him wear the red hat,
he's going to look the other way. Hey.
If I see him in some gold sneakers,
I'll send it in the group chat later tonight.
don't yuck my yum, okay?
Right. No, but he is. But okay. I mean, enjoy it. Enjoy.
Is he really?
Enjoy. 100%.
But some of his best friends are black.
They're black Trump supporters.
Exactly.
Nah.
So you know how that one go.
Oh,
is that it? Anything else?
Yes. Thanks for ruining my check-in.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thank you for sharing with us. No, seriously. Thank you. We're wishing your dad the best and your family.
No doubt. Thank you, brothers.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's good, people? This is your boy, L.O., a.k.a. the Ad Man. If you like this show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
Hello? Yeah, this is COVID. I'm taking off the rest of the summer and the weekend. You know?
Oh.
you guys can go back out. You don't have to wear no mask.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Like, it's the holiday weekend.
This is COVID.
Yep.
I'm taking off for the weekend for Turkey Day.
Yes.
You know, have a parade. I won't attack anybody.
Okay.
I'm going to give you guys the weekend. And I'll be back on Monday.
Yep.
So make sure you mask up.
Okay. Bye.
Switching gears a bit, I have a relatively, I feel like things are happening in my life, but either I'm just not willing to share or I'm not taking good notes. I don't remember.
You don't
take better notes.
You don't remember.
On your life.
Things are happening quickly.
But I don't know why I have not been listening to books before a couple of weeks from now, but I just sort of got reengaged with the New York Public Library and I am just listening to book after book after book. The first book I listened to was Elie Mostal's Allow Me to Retort, A Black Guy's Guide to Understanding the Constitution. Highly recommend this book. The way that he reads it, it's like an argument as if he's in court and he's making the argument against why everything that the Republicans do is intended to stymie progress 100%. They don't mind lying about it. They are lying about it. And one of the more fascinating ideas that he presents is stacking the Supreme Court and also expanding it to, like, I think he said 29 judges, which would dramatically change the way that cases are heard because it would be a rotating sort of hearing, or a number of judges would hear it in either one district or one section of the country, but it would be sort of like a lottery and you would never know who was going to hear a case. And I thought that was fascinating because right now we have these people who are sitting here who are lifelong appointees and who are clearly politicized. Like there's no question about it. John Oliver, I don't know if you guys watch John Oliver,
yeah,
but he does a clinic on Clarence Thomas, mm-hmm, and breaking down how corrupt this guy is. And even at the end of the show, offers him $1 million, mm-hmm, to step down from the Supreme Court and offers him a motor coach. Because it's not an RV, according to Clarence Thomas. It's a motor coach that he has.
It's a fucking $1 million one. This shit is like one of the nicest things ever.
This guy is
a scumbag.
He's a mess. He's a mess.
Hold up. Someone who's against affirmative action, who is taking all these gifts, which is essentially affirmative action, right?
According all to types them. Of action. He's here for that type of action.
He's got himself a fuck truck.
He was a direct beneficiary
with Jenny Thomas. Yuck.
Who's against affirmative action.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his wife is pretty homely.
She's fucking horrible looking.
She's yuck. I also listened to Tiffany
smells
Cross.
Like cats.
Cats like and bats.
Just the pissy part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pissy cat litter. That's what she smells like.
Sidebar. Do you know that is the one smell that drives me to want to throw up immediately? Have I told you guys this story?
No.
So I'm in Ohio. We are out drinking heavily. Like, this is one of those nights where blackout, where I'm like, I wake up, I don't know where I'm at. So I wake up, I'm in my apartment building, but I'm in someone else's apartment.
What?
Met this dude, and he was a friend of my neighbor. Me and my neighbor, we ran, it was called Oregon District, pretty regularly. So he knew this other dude who apparently started hanging out with us, or we bumped into him. So we went back to his apartment to drink and chill and just kind of like chill out for the rest of the night. Apparently, I pass out in this dude's lazy boy chair. The lazy boy chair smells putrid. It has cat piss. It must be like drenched and dried cat piss. Like it was so disgusting. So eventually when I wake up heaving, like I'm about to throw up because the smell is now hitting my nose.
And the cat was like, meow, get out the way, I gotta piss.
Right. And I'm trying to gather myself and figure out what's going on, but the smell is like clobbering me in my nose. Like I cannot get my bearings. And so eventually I wake up and then I'm like nervous because I'm like, I don't know where I am.
Right.
So I get up and then the dude comes by. He's like, hey, dude, what's up? I'm like, who
the fuck is this?
Al woke up in a white person's nightmare.
Right. And it's a white dude. So, you know, I'm already super nervous now.
This motherfucker thought he was in the... Who was that motherfucker that was killing people?
Get out.
People.
No, even worse, Dahmer. Yeah.
He was in Dahmer's apartment, even though.
Yeah, he invited you over for drinks.
Exactly. So, needless to say, that cut down me drinking that heavy in Ohio. But that apartment reeked of cat piss. Oh. And to this day, if I even have a hint of cat piss around me, even when people have litter boxes, even talking about it right now is disgusting me.
Huh? Wow.
I cannot, that smell, it is wretched. It is wicked. It is horrible. And he lived there. And I'm like, what? You want to talk about nose blind? Dude,
I tried to tell you not to sleep in the cat piss chair, but you just passed out, man.
He probably did. He's like, you
dude, don't sleep there. Man. Don't sleep there. Meow.
Cat was probably pissed the whole morning, literally.
Fucking L doesn't even go in bodegas where they have cats.
I don't. I really don't like it. I don't. And it's like, I like cats, but I don't like people who keep nasty homes with cats.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the thing that gets me. It's like, you can have a cat. You can have multiple cats. And as long as your home smells clean, I'm good. But if it has that pissy smell, oh my God. And it's such a unique and distinct smell.
I worked with a guy once who was a regular shooter, a regular cameraman on the show Hoarders, Buried Alive.
Oh God!
I was like, my man, you are so brave because there's no way in hell.
No way.
I'm not risking my life.
Nigga, I'm going in there with a whole fucking suit on. One of those fucking uranium suits with the fucking thing.
But when you... They have those houses where they had so many cats. Like there's dead cats in the cabin.
I saw that one.
Imagine you could smell that. You could smell that house from the street. There's no
TV. You could smell it.
I did a joke about that episode. One day I was doing a set and I talked about the lady finding the fucking cat in the fucking lettuce crisper. She opened up the fridge and the motherfucking cat was in there like fucking frozen. She's like, oh, there he goes. Oh my God, that's buttons. Like, bitch, get rid of this dick. Yo, I saw it where the fucking host was like, huh? She fucking started to heave. It was so nasty. Like, huh? Oh my God.
Give me yo, it's instant wretch. It's instant wretch.
Oh my
yo,
God. Cat is in there dead. Yeah. Mm. Why do you have a dead cat in the crisper?
All right, moving on.
Sorry.
I got to move on.
Meow, meow. He's getting a little queasy.
Don't move on. Meow.
Yeah. I've also listened to Tiffany Cross say it louder, Black Voters, White Narratives, and Saving Our Democracy. She has a brilliant political mind. She has a great story about finding her way in the business and trying to get through predominantly white spaces that have traditionally been exclusive. Mm-hmm. To Black women, to Black voices. And she tells a funny story about being at CNN when President Clinton was inducted to the Black Hall of Fame or something like that? Something like that. Don't quote me, but I'll look it up later. But apparently Al Green was being inducted the same year. So she's in a meeting or she's in a room with other white colleagues. And they're laughing, like, get a load of this, like, Bill Clinton's being inducted to the Black Hall of Fame. And then they go, or the guy goes, and then he's being inducted with some guy named Al Green. Who is Al Green?
Wow.
So she's sitting there, 20-something years old, just trying to get her footing. And she's, like, awashed in whiteness and decided not to say anything because she didn't want to be the one to spoil their fun, because they're all laughing, thinking it's like a ha-ha big joke, but they don't know who Al Green is. And I was like, I've resonated with that, because I remember being in spaces where it's like people tell jokes or they think it's funny, and it's so dismissive of who you are in Black culture.
Yep.
And then you don't want to be that person who's just always fighting and bucking, because then you become, oh, don't say anything about around him because he's going to,
right.
Black militant is back, you know? And it's like, you don't want to be labeled as that. But at the same time, you don't want your culture and your identity to be dismissed in the space that you occupy. And then also feeling like you can't be your authentic self in a space, which has probably been the majority of my corporate career.
I mean, I feel like that's, if you're working in this country and you're Black, that is your experience. You cannot be 100% authentic at work. There's very few people who can do that. I think that's why I like Ryan Coogler so much, because he is completely himself at all times. No code switching. And they have to celebrate and embrace him because he's fucking good at what he does.
Right.
But I didn't want to take a step back really quickly and talk about this. The library. Are you downloading this? Or is it online? Or do you actually have to go to the library?
No. Yeah. Downloading them off the app.
It's a library app.
Yeah, there's a library app and you get to download the audiobooks. I don't know the limit, but I have like 5 or 6 out right now.
Oh.
But I don't want to just be like a hog. So I'm trying to listen to them as quickly as I possibly can and then return them.
The library system has definitely stepped up its game, because in Jersey, New Jersey City Library is very good like that as well. So it's not like you got to go down there and look at the Dewey Decimal System to find something. Those days are done, son. Like, I'm like, L, like the same thing, because if you go on if you have the Kindle app or Amazon Audible, there's a link to go to your local library and you can get this shit on Audible free. If you go to, it's either Audible or Kindle. I want to say Audible book. There's a way to go to connect your library to it. Cause it was like, if you don't want to pay for it on Audible, you can go through your library and see if they have it. And then you can then download and listen to it, because I did it with a written book before, where I was one of the political books I was looking at that was boring as hell, but I said, well, let me see it. I don't want to pay for it. And I went and it got downloaded to the app and it was good for 7 days. And then after that, it just disappears. That. Yeah. So there's,
because Audible is driving me crazy. I have 2 credits on Audible. So what generally happens is I'll go ahead and I'll buy the book or buy a book and then I'll get another credit, but I have no way. I don't know how to access these credits. Yeah. So I think they're just taunting me.
No, if you have it, you just have to go to just look up a book you want to get, and that credit is good for that book, for the Audible book.
Yeah, I've had this credit, at least 2 of these credits, for like a year and a half.
Yeah, you got to use them. You got to use them. Are they? Because
do they expire?
No, they'll stay there. But if you cancel your Audible membership, you'll lose them.
Oh, I see.
So you have to download. Like what I did was I downloaded, used all my credits, and then I canceled it. Because then what pissed me off is, as soon as I cancel it, the next week or two later, all of fucking Malcolm X's speeches that he's ever done comes out on Audible. I was like, fuck me, man. That's what I really wanted. And I have them somewhere. Like, I have them in a file somewhere, but I was like, I would have access to it without having to go look for this shit and everything else. But yeah.
You know, that reminds me of what I used to do when I was working at, where was I? I don't want to say the company, but I was at this company and I had to read a lot on the screen. So I would listen to like Malcolm X or any type of speech. Mm-hmm. And then I would play the instrumental, a hip hop instrumental that was like the same or around the same length of the speech and just sync the speech up with the beat and listen to the speech. And it was such a wonderful way for me to enjoy my day at work, because it was beating both sides of my brain and then I'm still getting work done.
Fucking with a PE beat.
Yeah, exactly. Or I would use Black Moon a lot.
Oh yeah, they got some good beats.
Yeah. But yeah, you reminded me of that. And then I'll just tell you quickly, I'm listening to The Parable of the Sower by Tavia Butler right now. I'm going to just have to actually read that book. It is so good. This woman writes incredibly. I was turned on to her writing in undergrad. I read Kindred, which is a fascinating story about a woman who is thrown back into slavery times, but is in modern day times. Fascinating book.
I think they just did.
They did a TV show. It didn't really translate well. They only did 1 season. I watched a couple of episodes. It didn't really pull me in. I still have it like on my to be finished list. So I'll eventually get there, but it just didn't translate well. And I have Prior Convictions by Richard Pryor on tap next, and then Lucky Me by Rich Paul. So I am hugely.
You gotta share this reading list, bro. Because first of all, as soon as we get off here, I'm going to see what the New York Library has to offer. Because I didn't know they did audiobooks and that you didn't have to go to the library.
Yeah.
Fuck Audible.
Hold up. You go.
Unless I'm accessing the library through Audible, then don't fuck you. But if fuck you.
Rick was like, I gotta go down to the library and put on them big ass headphones to get tested for your ears. With a fucking bag of peanuts and shit.
I'll be dead in a minute. Book on tape. I'll be dead in a minute, sir.
If I have to go there to get the cassette, I'm not with it. But you know, if I can know,
it's definitely dope now with the way the library does things. And even if you want to read the book, it comes. You can basically lend it to yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would normally read a book on my phone or when I had my iPad. But now I'm like, I don't know why I just was not listening to books. It just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And when I'm telling you, that first book I listened to, I was like, duh, this is, I mean, because it's like listening to a podcast. So it didn't make any sense why I didn't.
Can I give you one to listen to?
What's that?
Are you going to say Will Smith book?
Oh, that one's pretty good too.
Okay.
That was really good. But
Mike Tyson's was good.
The History of Seven Killings.
Oh. I downloaded that. I think I have that in the wings waiting for me, because you talked about that before with it takes place in Jamaica.
Yeah, yeah.
You did talk about that. Okay.
I read it, but then when I've been driving up and down with work, driving up and down the country, I decided to listen to it on audiobook, and it's fantastic because now the characters are being played by different people. So it's almost like you're listening to like those old time radio dramas.
Radio shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
And been brought to you by Ovaltine.
Because of our conversation a couple of weeks ago, I picked up a book that I've had here for a longness and I haven't read it, but it's called Legacy of Ashes, and it's like the whole history of the CIA and all the nonsense that they've gotten into. It's a big book, and I actually haven't had a chance to like sit down and read for hours on end, which I would love to be able to do, but kids say no. And and then I fall asleep. I'm reading a few pages at a time, and I recommend it. So
when you finish with that, let me see that, man.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama's book is a very, very good book.
Oh, yeah.
I have like 2 hours left of it.
Is that Becoming?
Becoming. Yeah. That's a very good book. She talks, she narrates the book. I read Barack's Sons of Our Fathers, and
I didn't care for that book.
He's a great writer, but Michelle's a better writer than he is by far, I think.
He wrote that book knowing he was going to run for president. It is the most toe-the-line book I probably have ever read. No controversy, no controversial thought, nothing that pushes anything beyond the edges. It was straight down the line, tie up respectability politics at one, from the first page to the last page.
I like the book, I think, but I liked his book.
Did you feel like you got to know him as a person?
No. I don't think it wasn't as personable as Michelle's book. Michelle's book is very, very personable. And she talks about being in a white university and dealing with the adversity in that and growing up in Chicago and all those things. So that's why I said she's a better writer in the sense of when you look at the two stories side by side, that is a better book. Her book is better. Now, I started on the second book that he wrote when I think he was already in the Senate at the time, which was, it was okay. But like by far, I think out of the two, Michelle's the better story. It's definitely a good book. I would listen to it. And it's like fucking 12, 13 hours long. So that's
something she
can just,
I think she has the opportunity to be more transparent than he does.
Yeah.
Which is probably why.
And needs
her writing is, yeah. I mean, I just would like to see it from him, though. And maybe we don't get that for another 15 years.
Yeah.
Right. But I want to see it. I want to read it. I want to hear it.
You want to hear the title of the book be "These Crackers Get on My Nerves" by Barack Obama. Chapter one. These crackers get on my motherfucking nerves. Chapter two. Did I tell you how these crackers get on my nerves?
But yeah, I want to hear. Or at least I want to believe what he's writing comes from his heart and from his genuine experiences.
Well, what you'll realize when Michelle talks about him writing that book, first of all, when he got greenlit to write the book, he kept dragging his feet and never wrote the book. And the first publisher asked for the money back and wasn't going to let him write the book. Mm. Second time he got another chance, someone else gave him the money, whatever. And he was procrastinating, and then essentially went away for like, I think he wrote that book in like maybe a month, 2 months, like 60 days. He went away and wrote that book for 2 months. He had already started writing with the other publisher. So he had notes, but he actually went and put everything together within 2 months.
Should be able to write a book in 30 days if you have nothing else to do.
Yeah, and your story is on the tip of your tongue, but it's
right.
That's not the easiest thing to do. But, you know, so I think that probably goes along with why the book wasn't as in-depth as you would like to have been. I think it's just because he was trying to get it done. Because when he wrote that book, he was, I think, running for, I don't know if it was state Senate or actually the actual Senate seat for the United States. So he was kind of like, I got to get this
He had to keep appearances for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't give the enemy too much ammunition.
No.
He can't say that he snorted coke off a white girl's ass and smoked a joint.
And that's probably why the book comes off as such a middle of the road type of book. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're ever going to get that book, to be honest. I think his position in politics is too important to the party because he still can sway elections. He can still help or hurt elections because he was so popular as a president.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think an 85-year-old Barack Obama can write that book?
Hell yeah. when he knows, it's like, I'm not
doing this. I don't think there's any motivation for him at that point. I don't think he's sort of at 85, he solidified his legacy. There's no real reason for him to cause any turbulence in that. Like,
but not, I don't, in the same I don't, way, I don't want to in the say
same way that every other, and in the same way that every other president has never revealed it all. You know, we're never going to get that Jimmy Carter book. We're never going to get that Bill Clinton book or that Reagan book. Someone else can write it, but an autobiography.
I want him to write it. And I'm not saying put in salacious stuff. I'm just saying the title would probably be something like What I Should Have Said or What I Wish I Could Have Said Then.
Yeah.
These crackers get on my nerve. A book by Barack Obama.
Because, I mean, this dude has such a pivotal or prominent position in history. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear how he was able to navigate that, how really fucked up it was. And what all he had to deal with, like, and because I was reminded, they were talking about Trayvon Martin, and when he got into all that hot water about Trayvon could have been my son, like that's a real open and honest thought. And then he followed that up, and a lot of people pissed off about that. And this goes to the whole thinking that Barack Obama racially split the country, which is nonsense. But then he came back later after the verdict and he said basically what I was thinking is that actually could have been me. So to me, those are real honest views of him looking at himself through the eyes of regular Black folk or younger Black folk.
Yeah, I actually heard somebody criticize him recently. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it might have been D.L. Hughley.
No, it couldn't have been D.L.
Well, it wasn't dragging.
No, I know, but
it was like a slight criticism of Barack in that moment where he says, if I had a son, he probably would have looked like Trayvon, but didn't go as far as to say he was murdered because he was Black. So he didn't go that far, but we had to infer what he was saying, but he wasn't going to push it as far as to say, this racist thing happened to this little boy. And if that were me, it could have been me or it could have been my son, but he wasn't going that far.
I think if you want to get a taste of what you're looking for, listen to Becoming, because she kind of talks about Barack and what he was kind of going through and how it affected the family. And she's a lot more honest about the whole political thing because she can be.
Right.
Right.
Right. And they're not going to hold her feet to the flame. But you get a little glimpse of him outside of being Barack in a sense of playing this character of I'm Barack Obama. I have to always be on, you know, this type of standard. She kind of lets you inside a little bit about it and how he kind of felt alone of the things. And again, I still got 2 hours to listen to. So there's a lot more like when I left off, it's like, I think it's the ending of his first presidency going on to the second term. So I know there's a whole lot that happened between that, in those 2 hours that, you know, she straight up, like in one part of the book, she straight up said, I'll never forgive Donald Trump for what he did and what he said. So she was very, very honest about him. So it's a good book. You might like it. It's a good listen.
Yeah, I'm putting it on the list. So, well, there you go. This is the check-in show. That was my check-in. This is Leon, and I'm done speaking.
Get your ass in the field, boy.
Leon missed his calling, man. He's singing.
I miss many callings, my friend.
Yeah.
You have a good
That's
voice.
That's called life.
Hello, life?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take that call. Hold up.
I'm sorry, I'm busy, life.
Hello, life? Yes, I'm taking all your call-ins and whatever you wanted to do. You have 248 messages from life.
Hello, Leon, this is life calling. I just got off the phone with opportunity. Waiting for you.
Yeah, listen up, Leon. This is life again. I've been trying to call you all f***ing day. Call me back.
You ever collect call from
life?
Ain't take no goddamn collect calls. Hang it up, Junior.
Okay, Dad, I'm one of the Dream Crushers. Here you go.
Decoding 40.
Welcome back to another segment of What's the Scenario?
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
This is a list that I sort of curated, and I want you all to add to it. These are things you should not share with your partner, no matter what. All right. So here's a list of things. And if you have additions to this list, please.
Okay.
And no, in no specific order, but I tried to get them in from lowest impact to the absolute highest impact. Number 10, other people's business told to you in confidence.
Depends.
Okay. Number 9, your true body count.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, it don't matter now. It's too late.
Number 8. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say definitely when you're dating. There's no need for the whole body count.
Yeah.
I think a man who requires to know a woman's body count, first you're asking to be lied to. And then second, like, why does it matter? All of that shit happened before you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it matters to some men because they don't want to be
number 4,080.
Exactly. Thank you. Because there's a story in my head. I don't want to tell the story. But basically, someone had mixed up my wife with someone else. And what he basically said was, you talking about hoe? The hoe? And I was like, what? So yeah, so you don't want to be in that type of position.
Oh my god.
So where am I?
Number
8, your Amazon wish list, but more importantly your purchases.
That's a little light.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's more her. She shouldn't share that with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's in all those packages that show up every day.
Exactly.
Or every other day.
Yeah.
Number 7, used toilet paper.
What?
Huh?
I got it.
This brought to you by Marilyn Mayonnaise. Like, what the fuck?
You shouldn't share this with?
Yes. This is taken from a list of people who had already contributed to this question, and I was just taking what I saw as hilarious responses. Your washcloth for number six.
No.
Number 5, the number of abortions that you've had.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
Your body count for real.
I'm gonna need to know that.
Your real body count.
Yeah.
Double homicide.
Murders.
Number 4, that side bank account.
Yeah. I'm going to
keep it to yourself.
I don't need to know how much is in it. I need to know it exists, though.
Oh.
That's true, but I don't need to know how much is in it. That's none of my business.
All right. Your side piece phone number.
What?
I think that goes without saying.
Put them on the phone.
What?
Call her right now. Put it on speakerphone.
That made me think of that SZA song.
If anybody's ever in that situation, immediately throw your phone into the nearest sewer. That's all.
just break it.
Yeah, just
like Ari Gold on Entourage. They're stuck against the wall. Number two, a toothbrush.
Yeah. I'm not sharing toothbrush.
I have. We've had to do it once. But don't make it a regular thing.
Who brushed first?
I don't know. I know that. So we have the same exact electric toothbrush.
Oh, was it a mistake?
So this was by accident or on purpose?
I think it was more accidental.
Okay. But if you guys are in a hotel,
but it's one toothbrush. She is marked hers now.
Okay. Smelt that.
So she's like, yeah, definitely number two. And number one, which actually got a lot of posts, STDs.
Yeah, that's not sure.
So, of those, what would you add to that list?
Porn history.
Yeah. You see, no one needs to know your full deviance.
That's true. That is absolutely
because you know, you just wanted to see if that existed. It's not like you were into it for that long. Just a few weeks.
You immediately close your browser right after, so it doesn't really matter.
You only went to
the computer.
You only went to page 19. It's not like it's not like you did a deep dive.
It's not like you added to your bookmarks. It was just quick glance.
I mean, you did, but you were eventually
I'm tired of it.
I'm done.
I had one.
Oh, here's one I would think of. What if you had sex with one of their friends?
Oh yeah.
To the grave, I think.
To the grave, that one.
No, I don't know.
So if your friend doesn't say anything, you don't say anything.
Okay, if it happened before we got together.
Yeah, before.
And the friend never said anything.
Right.
No, I would say something. If it happened before we were together,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say something. I would have said something at the beginning.
And the reason why is because if her and her friend ever get into an argument, that's why I fucked your husband. Whoa.
Yeah.
Bodies everywhere, son.
You are leaping, my friend.
Hey, well, listen.
No. I'm saying the person who would say that. Yeah.
I'm saying it could happen. Or... you know, you say something slick. He wasn't saying that when you was sucking my pussy that time for y'all. Listen, you don't want that shit coming up in an argument or a fucking drunken night playing fucking check. What was that shit with the wood, pieces of wood?
Girl, you remember when you was telling me your man liked to eat ass? And I was like, I know. Yes, I know full well.
Fucking playing charades and someone gets mad at the game. We don't need that shit. Mm-mm.
You're right. All right. On that note, thank you for playing. And that has been another segment of What's the Scenario?
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I have my bicycle. My wife has a bicycle.
You have what?
A bicycle.
I'm sorry, you have what?
A bicycle.
What are you, five?
A bike. A bicycle.
Yes, you have a bike, sir. They don't have a bicycle.
That's the word, though. Bicycle.
No, right. What adult human you know that calls it a bicycle?
You know what? Well, fuck you, ignorant motherfucker.
My kindergartner says bicycle.
No, I have a bicycle. Bike.
What adult male?
Sir, you do not have a bicycle.
I can't stand you motherfuckers for real right now. Because you got monkeys. You got monkey shoulder here. What the fuck you drinking, Rick?
I don't know. Some shit from Virginia.
I'm drinking Telemadu.
And you said it like, I've got a bicycle.
I got a bicycle. I got a bicycle and I've got a fucking headrest. I got a helmet. No, I got a bike. My wife has a bike.
Thank you. Yes.
And because these motherfuckers are sensitive to the word bicycle.
All right, guys. We've reached the golden point of the hour. Let me know what your final thoughts are.
We celebrated your 51st, and my boy Alrix is coming up at the end of the week. So when this episode drops, it'll be the day before your birthday, correct? Because you're the 16th, right?
No, I'm the 15th.
15th. So listen, the 15th is Rick's birthday and our fifth anniversary. So, you know, happy birthday to him and happy birthday to the show. And till we see you next week, I guess. That's my last bit of the words.
Nice.
Oh, my last word. Do not share your French fries. You should have ordered French fries when I asked you, do you want some fries?
Rick takes French fries seriously.
Do not share your French fries. It just sets a bad precedent.
Absolutely.
Then they're always reaching in your plate. Like, well, I want to taste that. Well, why didn't you order that?
And why do they always take the biggest fry in the motherfucking plate? The one you put all the ketchup on, you ready to eat. Now here they come. Snatch.
That's a fact. Let's see. My final thought is it feels good to be 51 and it feels amazing to be 5 years old at the same time.
No doubt.
This show is still trying to figure out where we're going, but when we get there, we will have gotten there. So
yes.
Thank you, everyone who continues to support this show in every which way. We appreciate the texts. We appreciate the calls. We appreciate the comments, the DMs, everything that you do and share. And you know what else you can do? I forgot about encouraging everyone to please make comments on wherever you're listening to this podcast, because that definitely helps, and rate and share this show as much as possible. So with that, if you want to give us a call or text, you know the number is 619-940-4040. And if you want to email us, it's decoding40@gmail.com. If you want to check out merch and anything and all the latest news that's going on with Decoding 40, go to decoding40pod.com. And all of our social media is wrapped up into Decoding 40. So that's Facebook, IG, TikTok. Do we have TikTok still?
Yes.
We do.
As long as TikTok is still around, they're trying to get rid of it.
Unless they ban it in America, we're still there. But ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. We just like to end this show with one simple phrase. That word is peace.
I'm not having another shot because I'm not rolling down one of these hills and ending up the bottom with a broken neck, because I'm not feeling good at all. So I abstain from the shots. And that's probably where they plan to roofie us. So you're welcome.
Thank you.
Because they needed to roofie all of us, or the plan fell apart.
You like plan to work.
You know what?
Matter of fact, their shots would have been water.
What? Your L. What, nigga? Why do I show like this?
I don't feel so good.
Yo, why is there a shipping container in there? Fuck. This don't look like a party, nigga. This looks like a kidnapping.
Not a kidnapping.
Run.
And we're running, but we're actually running in place in slow motion because the roofie got us all fucked up.
Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.